Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. My responses cover subjects of general interest, such as human relationships, career, and morality, but not current politics. For the present, my answers are posted every other week on Mondays, and Dr. Yaron Brook answers questions on current events on the alternate Mondays. You can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes on my website. Several years of podcasts are now easily searchable by topic or keywords. If you have a philosophical question to ask, simply go to www.peikoff.com, and that's spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F, like the word off at the end, peikoff.com. And of course, feel free to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. If Kant believed the stuff he wrote, why did he bother to write it? Why did he bother to breathe air, eat food, wear clothing, sleep, or move about? Well, his answer was that morality is acting on principles which are universalizable, and that requires a life of duty and prohibits suicide. My answer is that he wanted something from life, and what he wanted was nihilism, the destruction of the West, and he carried that out. So the fact that somebody preaches anti-life ideas doesn't mean he's going to commit suicide. Not if he has something that he wants to do with his anti-life ideas. Now the questioner goes on, if your answer is he didn't believe what he said, he only wanted to destroy, which is basically what I said, must he knowingly be Satan? He really does know the truth but promotes error. Well, I would say yes and no. And it's significant that Kant had rationalizations to justify what he was doing. False, but nevertheless, he used it. For instance, he said he is saving a religion and morality from the cold anti-value attitude of science by giving religion the true reality and science just the superficial world. That was his way of keeping morality on his side. But you say, does he really know the truth but promotes error? Here I have to remind you of something that Socrates thought. Socrates thought, being an innocent Greek, if you know something, you act on it. And if you don't know, then, you know, you can't be expected to act on it. But what subsequent civilizations showed is that people can know perfectly well and yet not know at the same time by means of evasion. Now, if he were a full Satan, he would know down to the last drop what he's doing and still do it. He couldn't do that. No human being could do it because that would amount to saying, I am unredeemably depraved in a world which is going to destroy me. He would have to have, as a volitional living being, some pretense and plausible life. And from that point of view, he has to banish. He knows, and then when it comes too close, he doesn't know. An example of what happens when you really do know clearly what it is you are doing without evasion was when James Taggart, at the end of Atlas, grasped that that was his psychology. He had to break with reality. He couldn't face it, and he became psychotic, which should be the only end if you try to function not knowing reality. If and when you find out, you are dead. My father, though a generous man, is irrational in his personal life. I have little respect for him. I rely on his financial support because I have extreme difficulty attaining suitable employment. But I wonder if he is attempting to get the unearned in spirit from me by continuing to support me. An idea that troubles me greatly. How can I tell whether his generosity is motivated by genuine benevolence or by psychological evil? And if the latter, is it immoral to continue to accept his support? Well, to you, to give a proper answer, I'd like to know your age. I'd like to know the reason that you have extreme difficulty in getting a job. For instance, if you're 14, then it's irrelevant what his motive is, because you are a chosen obligation of his. He is committed by his actions to support you, and it is not your business what his inner motive is. Your business as a child is, what does he do? How does he act in reality towards you? Now, if he has a hidden evil motive, you don't have to know it. There's no reason for you to know it. You're not a psychologist. You're not even sure you'll ever know it by talking to him. So that's one question. What's your age? Well, let's assume you are in your 20s, let's say. Suppose you go to a banker and you want a loan, and the banker studies your credentials and says, yes, I'll do it. Now, is he doing it just to get ahead of his rival? Is this a second-handed action? Is he doing it because he's going to use the money to have an affair with his grandmother? It doesn't make any difference. You are concerned only with the action, and that's what's relevant. And now I want to know, if you're in your 20s, what are you doing to earn some money? How long have you been in this position that is desperately difficult to get a job? Let's suppose you're doing the best you can, because if you're not, then you should get out of there. There's no question of should you keep taking it. But for some reason, you can't get the job and he agrees with it. Well, then again, his psychology is irrelevant. What about all the parents who educate their children in a truly sacrificial way? They don't give a damn whether the kids learn anything, but what will the neighbors or the family think? Now, that is not a valid motivation, but should the kids say, I'm not letting them get away with unearned evil? They say, too bad, whatever your motives are, just bring up the money as you promised to do. If you are the recipient of a valid action, the why is not relevant unless you have reason to believe that you are being used as a tool in the promotion of existential evil. If you don't think that, you don't have a basis for that. You're not being set up to be a patsy or a transmitter or a mediator to cause evil to others, then forget about it. Here's a complicated one. By what criteria should the father of a teenage daughter determine whether to approve of her boyfriend? Where to start with that? No one can list 400 things. The first thing I would ask is, how old is she and what kind of relationship is she contemplating? I mean, is she 14 and she wants to spend the night with a boy in a barn and then go over to his friend's barn? That certainly gives you an idea what to approve or not. But suppose she is 17 and she wants to go to the movie with someone who is, say, 19, you can't put the two together. Or she wants to go to a party where it's chaperoned or a party where it's not chaperoned. I mean, these things, existential conditions, what they are doing and how old they are very relevant. You can't just say, well, if she's independent and has integrity and so on, let her go. Let's assume she's somewhere between 16 and 18, and that's up to you to decide how mature you think she is. I would then ask this first question. What do you know about her? I mean, what relevant things do you know about her? Not hope and not feel, but know. Has she always been truthful to you about meaningful things? Is she a responsible girl as against being unstable, unpredictable, whimsical? What kind of men do you know she likes? And it doesn't have to be from school, from the movies, from rock stars, etc. Now, there's many more things of that kind, but if any one of these is really weak, she's very flighty, or she lies all the time, or the man she likes is that guy that sings "Let's Kill the Police." I don't even know the name of them, I'm sorry to say. Then your problem is not the boyfriend, but her. And if she's 18, I don't know what you can do about it. If she's weak in those ways and she chooses someone like herself, then you have the two weak ones together. Who knows what will happen and what can you do about it? And if she chooses a strong man and she's weak, is he going to dominate her? And why does he want her? And who knows what's going to happen again? I don't know any good answer if you get negative answers to the questions that I raise. If you can fix her, do it as much preferable to sifting her boyfriend. Because you can have the greatest boyfriend in the world, and it doesn't make any difference if she's not. If he's the greatest boyfriend, he probably won't stay with her very long. But you know, he's a teenager, and teenagers have hormones, so it's not evil if he thinks she's nice on the first date. So, you know, all right, the second date, whatever, don't start tweeting on that. But let's now assume that she is okay on those counts. You know, you trust her, she's honest, etc. What would you look for in a boy at that age? Now, I would say, don't look for, quote, rationality or philosophic theory of ethics or even politics, because at that point, they will be mostly floating abstractions, and you have no way of knowing what they mean. And how are you going to find them out from, you know, her brief meeting when he picks her up? Now, of course, you can invite him to dinner, but I don't think people do that anymore. But in the old days, he used to invite a girl to dinner, but now I think you only do it when you're engaged. But you have to get what you can in the parlor. And in that, I would try to elicit something from him, not in the form of being the Gestapo or the maniacal father, but, you know, in some way that might give you something. What movies does he like? You could say something to gauge his interest in her. You might say something like, you're a lucky guy to get my little girl. And then see, he might be embarrassed. He might say, uh-huh. He might say, boy, you sure are right. You get some gauge there. I mean, it's pretty weak, but you want to get some feeling for another good thing. I think is very helpful in judging this type of thing. There's a trinity. One is the confident person who talks straight, natural, as against, on the one side, someone who is asserting himself, showing that he's confident and is lippy, aggressive, that I right away would say that's no good. And the other side is a person who's timid. And you say, what movie do you like? Well, I'm not sure I've seen, you know, etc. So if you can get any feeling for that, you just have to say, how does the person strike you? There's no other way that I know it. You can't ask your daughter to give a list of the boy's virtues, especially not if she really likes him, because who knows how objective he is. Now, you probably want to know, well, what should you say about sex? And I would say, I'm sorry, but at that age, what's the use of saying anything? She undoubtedly knows more about it than you do. Certainly by 18, I would imagine in America today, she's done more than you even know about. So I wouldn't even worry about that. I would take the attitude, in that field, que sera, sera. If you can keep things okay until 16 or 17, that's it. I wouldn't try anymore. Now, I stress that this is all my view. This is not necessarily Ayn Rand's or objectivism. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peakoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most important novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I might add that it wouldn't hurt you to read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis.